Well, good morning to all of you, and blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be back with you here this morning, and look forward to what God will do in our midst here today. The title of the message this morning is, Don't Trust the Politicians. Sounds like a pretty modern concern, doesn't it? But I would have you to note that the title of this sermon this morning came from a couple thousand years ago, from Psalm 146, and I would invite you to turn there with me. This is not a new concern. It's not a new issue. It's something that has been present with people and with our world from the beginning. And I'm sure if you haven't been living under a rock, then you are well aware that this is an election year. And you are probably aware of the events of this past week in the political world. And believe it or not, I did actually choose this sermon text and title well over a week ago, before I knew what was going to happen this week. And if you need confirmation of that, you ask John Ivan. He can show you my email from a week ago. But I'm going to propose that the Holy Spirit knew what sermon we needed this morning, and he worked behind the scenes to prepare it for us. Over the next number of months, the next 5 months or so, we are going to be inundated with messaging, with advertising, attempting to get us to vote for one candidate or for another. Billions and billions of dollars are going to be spent. And a lot of energy and a lot of time, billions and billions of hours perhaps, of man hours, are going to be spent in an attempt to influence the outcome of the next presidential election and also down ballot races as well. And there's going to be huge political rallies that are going to take place where thousands of people will gather together and shout and clap and applaud and chant and yell and scream when their candidate comes on stage. What's really going on in all of that? What's really going on in the political world? Why do the people of our country and our culture spend so much time and effort and money preoccupied with politics? Perhaps an even more important question is, what should Christians think about these things? How should we interact with this aspect of our world and our nation and our culture? Well, today we're going to look at Psalm 146, and we're going to see if we can get some ancient wisdom, some perspective to guide us as we think about that question. Read along with me, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. In this text, we have a contrast, a clear contrast between God, who is worthy of praise, and the princes of this world who are not. Now, today we could replace the word princes with the word politicians, or president, or governor. And we could possibly get the same kind of sense that this psalm had to the Old Testament hearers. Don't trust the politicians, is what it says in verse 3. Verses 3 and 4 describe the princes, the rulers, the leaders, the strong men, the politicians. And these verses give us a warning not to trust in them. And then the rest of the psalm gives us this contrast between God, who we should trust, and these princes, who we should not. Now, before we dig deeper into this text, allow me to share some personal context. You see, I have some friends, some fairly good friends, who are politicians. I've had the honor of being able to have conversations with elected leaders of our state and local jurisdictions. And they have told me, I've listened to them talk about the pressures and the realities of the political world. And in my line of work as an auctioneer, I've had a behind-the-scenes look at some political events. I say all that to say this. The sermon today is not meant to be an attack on political leaders. In fact, there are many honorable politicians in our country, in our state, and in our local government. And we should thank God for that. That is one of the mercies of God. We are also commanded by God to pray for our rulers, to pray for both the honorable and the less than honorable. But that doesn't change the message of this psalm today. In fact, the most honorable of politicians will be quick to agree with the message of this psalm. The friends of mine who are in politics would want you to know that what this psalm declares is true. And the primary message of this psalm is that political leaders are not who we should trust in for our salvation and for our welfare. We should not trust the politicians to fix our problems or the problems of our society. Instead, we should trust God for these things. The promises that politicians make are not generally reliable. The promises that God makes are ultimately reliable and always trustworthy. Now let's dig in a little here into this psalm. And before we get to verses 3 and 4, which I've already mentioned, we see that there is instruction here to praise the Lord. And if you will notice, the psalmist here is kind of talking to himself. He's saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." Self, listen. Praise the Lord. And then there is this commitment, "I will praise the Lord as long as I live. While I am alive, I will sing praises to my God. While I have my being." And then at the end of this psalm, we see the same refrain in verse 10. Praise the Lord. And so the psalmist bookends what he is about to say here about politicians and about God with this commitment to praise the Lord. And I believe this is the same place that we should start and stop. We often need to remind ourselves to praise the Lord, even when we don't feel like it, especially when we don't feel like it. We need this reminder. This exercise of praising the Lord has a way of correcting our perspective, of giving us a better perspective. It helps us to take the attention off of ourselves and our problems and our worries and our frustrations, and helps us to see that it is God who cares for us, who takes care of all of these things. Now today, the same news media that feeds us incessant ads from politicians and political campaigns also feeds us horrible stories from all around the world, from the Middle East, from Ukraine, from everywhere. This same news media feeds us stories of gloom and doom as it relates to economic predictions for this country and for our world. In the midst of all of this, it becomes easy for us to become depressed and discouraged and wonder, what in the world is going on? And does God really care about it all? But we must tell ourselves, like the psalmist did, to praise the Lord. By praising the Lord, we remind ourselves and others, we remind ourselves and the world of the incomparable greatness of God. And we guard ourselves against the idolatries that are always eager to claim our allegiance. And one of those allegiances, one of those idolatries, is when we put our trust in men instead of God. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 3. Put not your trust in princes. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we could probably replace the word princes with the word politician or president or governor, and we would capture the meaning pretty well. In the ancient world, in the world of the psalmist, there were no such thing as presidents per se. There were probably not elections as we know them, but there were strong men. There were kings, there were princes who ruled over territories and peoples and who promised to make people safe and keep people safe. Have you heard that refrain? If you'll just do what I tell you to do and you pay taxes to me, I'll take care of you. For some reason, people like that. People still respond to that message today. And in the ancient world, it was not uncommon for kings and princes to be regarded as representatives from the gods, or even to claim to be gods themselves. I mean, look at our Sunday school lesson this morning and think about Pharaoh, the Pharaohs. They were deity, or they were holding themselves out as deity. They demanded allegiance and worship. We think about King Nebuchadnezzar and his decrees. We think about the Roman emperors, such as Nero. They demanded allegiance. They demanded worship. And moving ahead into more recent history, we can think about Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler in the last century, who had huge crowds thronging them and who demanded ultimate allegiance and who killed those who dared to speak against them. And then, observe what happens at a political rally today, and how people seemingly have blind allegiance to a man. Now, I in no way mean to equate President Biden or President Trump with Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler or King Nebuchadnezzar or Nero or Pharaoh. But the same seeds of idolatry that allowed those dictators to come to power and to stay in power are present in the throngs of people who seemingly have blind allegiance to President Biden or President Trump. A number of years ago, it was President Obama. And I remember at that time, about 12 or 13 years ago, I remember touring the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And if you haven't been there, you should go there. And I observed, as I was going through the displays, I observed the eerie similarities between their time and ours. And the way that they revered Adolf Hitler and the reasons why. And the way that people today revere politicians. How easy it would be for a powerful and charismatic figure to rise up and control people. Control people to such an extent that they would be willing participants in atrocities like the Holocaust. It is not far away. Why? Because people trust in princes. They trust in politicians. You see, these princes, these politicians, they stoke fear in the hearts of their followers. And then they assert that only they can deliver people from whatever it is, the danger. Only they can guarantee prosperity. Now, whether the issues are local or global, whether the issues are ones of financial health or physical health, pay attention. Pay attention to what politicians are saying. Pay attention to what they do. You see, they will always identify problems, whether real or perceived. They will always identify problems. And then they will promise that if you support and elect them, they will take care of that problem. That's how it works. Over and over and over again. You would think we would get wise to this after a while. If there isn't a problem, then they'll make one. Just so that they can have something to campaign on. Something that makes them seem indispensable. Now, verse 3 goes on to give us, or verse 4, I'm sorry, goes on to give us the reason why we shouldn't trust in princes. It says, there is no help or salvation in them. They are but sons of men. They can't save us from our troubles. And just to prove it, look what happens the moment they die. On that day, all their boasting and their plans perish with them. The world moves on. But they keep trying. They keep promising. And people keep trusting the politicians. Now, I think it's important to note here that the psalmist is not claiming that rulers and governments have no role in human life or welfare. It's easy for us when we approach this kind of an issue to kind of become anarchists. Well, we just don't need the politicians at all. We don't need government at all. They just cause problems. But that's not God's way. God has set up rulers. He has set up authorities. He has used rulers and authorities throughout history to accomplish his purposes, to provide and care for his people. What's important for us to note here is that this warning is directed not against the politicians, but against those who would trust in them. And the psalmist directs his warning against the false promises, the overweening power grabs, and the godlike claims that earthly rulers are tempted to make. Honor the rulers, yes, but have no illusions about their power to save or to provide. And while we're still looking here at this injunction to not trust in princes, let's take this one step further. It's relatively easy for us to understand how this applies to the political world. Most of us have a sense of distrust about politicians. And that's probably healthy. But do you have that same sense of distrust about other leaders, about other strong men? What about a church leader? What about a business leader? Don't put your trust in them either. Even if they promise the solution to your problems. Especially if they promise the solution to your problems. The red flag should go up. The warning bells should go off. Anytime you hear a leader promising the solution to your problems. It's far too easy for us to follow after some great leader, some popular teacher, some popular preacher. But trust the psalmist when he says, "Don't put your trust in them in whom is no salvation." The contrast here is clear. Only God is praiseworthy. Only God is worthy of our confidence and our trust, because it is only God who saves. Blessed or happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, not whose help is President Trump or President Biden or Governor Youngkin. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who made the sea and all that is in them, the God who keeps faith forever. You see, true happiness, true well-being comes from the God of Jacob. He is the creator of everything. And therefore, he has the skill, he has the insight, he has the ability to provide what is best for his creation, for his creatures. But even more than that, God is faithful. The foundation of the whole biblical story, from beginning to end, is God's faithfulness, his deep covenant relationship with his people. God will not forsake. God will not let go. God will not turn a blind eye. Now, earthly rulers and earthly powers and earthly leaders, they don't have that same commitment. Their aims are at least tainted, if not fully motivated, by self-interest. Even the most honorable, even the most righteous human leader still can be tainted with self-interest. But God is in it for the world, for us. And God's self-interest is always pure. And despite its sin and despite our rebellion, God is still wholly committed to the welfare and salvation of his creation. And Psalm 146 follows up on this thought with a list of commitments that God has made to the world. Only God is totally committed to justice. Only God is truly righteous. Only God is fully on this side of the oppressed and the vulnerable and the defenseless. Only God can be counted on to deliver us from the clutches of evil in this world. This impressive list here of God's commitments in verses 7 through 9, this impressive list is particularly ironic because it points toward commitments that are typically missing from our world's leaders. And while our world's leaders tend to lavish concern on and advocate for the rich and the powerful and those on the top rungs of society, God looks out for those who are on the bottom. Now, some politicians will give lip service to working for justice, for those who are oppressed, for those who are hungry. But again, like I said at the beginning, watch what they do, not just what they say. And what they do shows something else. It shows that they really only care for the downtrodden, for the oppressed, for the afflicted, for the poor, when it serves their interests. Now, most of you, again, if you haven't been living under a rock, and there probably isn't anything wrong with living under a rock in these days, but if you haven't been living under a rock, you probably have heard Oliver Anthony's recent hit song. It's not so recent anymore, I guess, but Rich Men North of Richmond. Now, many of the so-called experts in our world could not understand why a song like that became such an overnight sensation, not only in this country, but all over the world. And I would venture to say that it certainly wasn't because the musician was so talented or sounded so good. The reason it resonated so deeply with so many people is because it touched on the same themes that we find in this passage here. In fact, Oliver Anthony reads passages from the Bible at every one of his concerts, and this psalm is one he reads quite often. And so while we might not completely agree with the message of Rich Men North of Richmond or the manner of Oliver Anthony, I think we can agree that the contrast is clear between God and the princes of this world. And you see, as I said earlier, the rulers and leaders of this world, they often give lip service to some of the things that God cares about, but then they take advantage of those same people. They take advantage of the poor in the name of helping them. They give people just enough hope to keep them trapped in a cycle of poverty. They're not really concerned about justice for the oppressed, only about keeping themselves out of trouble. They say one thing, they do another. Rules for thee and not for me. They call evil good and good evil. The princes, the rulers, the leaders of this world will never measure up to the God who made this world and who cares for this world, the one who keeps faith forever, the one who executes justice for the oppressed, the one who gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoners free, who opens the eyes of the blind, the God who lifts up those who are bowed down, the God who loves righteousness and watches over the travelers and the sojourners, and upholds the widows and fatherless, and who brings ruin to the wicked. This is the God who reigns forever. His plans do not perish. So the refrain of this psalm concludes just as it began. Praise the Lord. Keep reminding yourself, keep reminding each other, that only God is ultimately trustworthy and true. He is the only one who can provide true salvation. Don't fall into the temptation to trust in princes. Let's pray. From Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Amen. Let's have a song.